The Last Mustang by Laura Crockett, Volume 1, An Old Car and a Young Prophet. Chapter 2, A Door Shuts, A Door Opens. "We will tell you when it's time, Sergeant Morales." Zero pushed a shot of vodka across the desk. "Carruthers is too exposed right now, so we wait." "I will wait." Alex downed the vodka. For 3 months and 5 days, Alex waited. On the sixth day, Zero called Alex into his office. When he stepped across the threshold, he saw a stocky 30-something man seated near the desk. "This is Captain Pedro Pilar." "Sir," Alex saluted. "Captain Pilar is in charge of the operation." Captain Pilar could see the question on Alex's face. "It's your kill, Sergeant. I'm here because this is a military operation for Alfonso's crown." "Yes, sir." Alex gave Pedro a nod. Zero took a small tablet out of the drawer. "This is the address. Tomorrow, late afternoon, he will leave his house to journey to his girlfriend's house in Westchester. It's by the airport. It's noisy." "Fire when it's the noisiest?" "You get the picture," Pedro said. The next day at 5 p.m., Alex and Pedro made their way to Westchester. At 5:36, they parked near the girlfriend's house. At nearly 6, a car approached, heading opposite. Alex's heart jumped when he recognized Patrick Carruthers driving a new car. "How many cons fresh out of prison get a new car?" Pedro said it quietly. Alex had his hand on the door handle. Pedro stopped him. "Wait!" Patrick pulled his car into the driveway. He remained seated. Pedro checked his watch. He then nodded to Alex. Without a rush, they walked across the street. "It's yours," Pedro said. Alex walked around to the driver's side. Patrick was busy arranging paperwork in a briefcase. Alex lightly tapped his window. Patrick turned to look at him. He didn't recognize Alex. He rolled down his window. "Yeah? You remember that guy you killed? The one on the bicycle?" Patrick's face turned ashen. Alex drew his weapon point blank into the face. The girlfriend now on the porch to witness it. Alex pulled the trigger. Patrick was no more. The girlfriend screamed. Several neighbors rushed out of their houses. "Hey, what's going on?" A guy across the street shouted it and then ran towards Alex. The guy carried a weapon. Pedro stepped in between the running man and Alex. Alex, as he had been instructed to do, and as he had practiced doing, holstered his weapon. But as he glanced around him, seeing so many neighbors running out of their houses, he quickly withdrew the weapon and put it up in a defensive position. "Don't worry," said Pedro. "There must be 50 guys out here. We are covered." A helicopter came quickly over the houses. Alex could see two men on either side sitting in the open doors, weapons pointed at the men who surrounded him and Pedro. The girlfriend screaming and crying filled the air. With a neighbor, they dragged the faceless Patrick out onto the lawn. "Walk slowly towards the car," Pedro said. He covered Alex's back. "We're coming up against some guys here," Alex said. Another dozen men came toward him. Just then, Alfonso's crown soldiers arrived. Surrounded by their own, Alex and Pedro returned to their cars, the street filled with angry neighbors. A shot was fired, and then the entryway to hell opened up. Who had fired it? No one would know, ever. First shots in wars are like that. Shots in response were fired. Men went down, with one dead. An LAPD copter flew in, followed by the sound of sirens. A SWAT team arrived. Through a bullhorn, the order for everyone to put down their weapons was ignored. The police became a part of the war that was to be. Alex felt the adrenaline flow. Pedro tugged his arm. "This is not your fight, not now," Pedro yelled out. Someone shoved Alex into the back seat. He glanced out the window. A third helicopter came into view. The AC copter pulled back. This third copter shot out a missile. The police copter exploded in the air, its pieces raining down on the fighting men below. The AC copter hovered over Pedro's car. As he sped off, it moved with them, providing cover. Turning to look out the back window, Alex saw a battle ensuing on the streets of Westchester. "What the hell is going on, Pedro?" "Patrick Carruthers, the leader, returned to his people." Pedro glanced over to the soldier in the passenger seat. "But not for long, eh, Beppo?" The men shook hands. "You did humanity a favor, Alex," Beppo said. "Well, some folks are angry about that." "Because Patrick was their son of a bitch," Beppo pointed out with his chin to the men and women now battling it out behind them. "He provided for them." "But who shot down the police copter?"
"We did," Pedro said. "This is the war that was to come. It is now here."
Alex looked at Pedro as he tried to comprehend.
"Yeah, Alex," Beppo said. "You started a war."
Realization spread across Alex's face.
"This was my job."
Pedro laughed out loud. "You joined my army."
"Your army?"
Pedro swerved around a car.
"Yes, I started Alfonso's Crown 10 years back."
Pedro glanced at Alex.
"Patrick's organization is the financial arm of a much larger one. They run this state. They have thousands of members, and they are well organized. They call themselves FOTOPE."
"FOTOPE?"
"For the people."
Beppo laughed out loud.
"Who are they, really?"
"Bureaucrats."
"And their families?" Beppo smirked. "They have owned California for a long time, Alex." Beppo turned to face Alex. "You know how I came to know the captain here?"
"The same as you. I wanted revenge for a little sister that was taken from our loving home and given to foster parents who then beat her to death."
As Alex watched him tell his story, he could see the devastation written across Beppo's face.
"Beppo, Beppo," Pedro said, gently slapping Beppo's arm. "Make sure our escort is waiting."
"Yes, Captain."
Beppo checked his phone. He then looked up as they neared the entrance to the 10 freeway.
"There,"
he pointed to a gray SUV in front of them. Pedro passed the SUV. Alex could see the Alfonso Crown logo on its door. He then took the on-ramp, the SUV following.
"Where are we headed?"
"Out of town for a few days."
What they left behind as they drove quickly away was a conflict that was spreading. By the time the three men reached Pismo Beach, the little conflict encompassed the west side of Los Angeles. It was fought in the air and in the streets. The next morning, from Inglewood to Westwood, bodies lay in those streets, and the hospital wards filled up with the injured. That morning, the battle between the city, FOTOPE, and Alfonso's Crown, with a scattering of others in the city, traveled north. As it did so, the firepower caused a brush fire below the Getty. Firefighting crews left it to burn. That night, Sacramento was hit by a large explosion. The state capital died in a glory it had brought upon itself. When the fire died down, no one mourned the loss of the state capital. No one missed the legislative branch, which only made expensive laws, nor did anyone miss the bureaucrats who enforced them. From Point Loma to the Sierra Army Depot, thousands of men and women of the United States Armed Forces stationed in the state left their bases to journey back to their home states. They could see the writing across the skies that a civil war, which had been brewing for decades, was finally coming to town. Soldiers would rather fight in their own towns to protect their own families' interests than any of the interests of California. Within a week, Arizona, attempting to stem the tide of refugees from California, joined in the fray. Outbursts began in Virginia, Texas, and Pennsylvania. The West Coast declared itself separate states. The South followed soon after. The president called on the armed services. Yet, like General Lee, soldiers would fight for their homelands, not the country. The president formed his own military organization.
A large yacht picked up the men in Pismo Beach. They sailed south.
It's their civil war, Alex, Pedro said.
Yes, who are they? I mean, who's fighting who, and why did we start it?
It is complex. Pedro lit a cigar.
We jump-started it, Beppo said.
Pedro took a long draw on the cigar.
Shall I say Alfonso's crown was impatient?
Beppo scoffed.
Pedro, Captain Pilar, tell me, what have I been involved in for the last 3 years?
Pedro grabbed a chair and sat in front of Alex.
Alfonso's crown is my baby, my vision. Zero once worked for my father. As a kid, I admired his ability to organize things.
Who was your father?
Tell him, Beppo.
El Gringo.
The world knew who El Gringo was, drug lord of all drug lords. It was said he owned half of Mexico and all the people in that half. He was titled El Gringo because he was, as described on the streets, an American dude gone to Mexico to make good in the world. He made good indeed. He married a Latin beauty from a well-connected family. Pedro was his firstborn of three sons. The second son was a young attorney under the tutelage of the family lawyer. The third son, well, no one knew where he was. Some said he became a monk. Others said that he disappeared into China. El Gringo had one daughter. At 19, this beauty with her green eyes and black hair became engaged to the Earl of Stinton. The Earl was an ambitious man. Pedro said the Earl's mother was a Stuart of the royal line. Pedro had made it his habit to study such things. Alex wondered if Pedro had wandered far from the father.
You sell drugs?
Once, but no more.
And Zero?
Was my father's captain. When Papa wanted something done, Zero made it happen. And when Papa gave me those books to read about men of honor and kings and such things, Zero encouraged it. One day I said to him, Zero, why no more kings? And Zero replied, because no one can make it happen. And I said to him, why not? And he said that men longed for such a leader who will protect them from the unscrupulous men like Patrick Carruthers, but no one stepped into that place to make it happen. It was a moment of inspiration for me. I then asked Zero, can we make this happen, to bring back a king for Mexico?
Pedro chuckled.
That, Zero said, will take some doing. And yet, I was still inspired. That inspiration turned to motivation, so here I am, and Zero has made this happen. So that is why we have Alfonso's crown. And who was this Alfonso?
Pedro took a deep breath. Alex saw him thinking.
Alfonso the 11th, King of Castile from 1312 until his death in 1350.
That's a long time ago.
It is. And why him, this King Alfonso?
Because I like him.
He was strong, purposeful, and lived life fearlessly.
Like you.
Pedro chuckled. Are you to become the king? Me?
No.
I thought about it once, but I have no royal blood. And then Zero said that someone who was descended from Alfonso, actually descended, was alive and living in California, a young man, a lieutenant in the army, who studies history at USC. I tried to meet him, but then he went on duty. And now, Pilar took a long drag on his cigar.
Yes, there's this war.
Alex silently studied Pedro's face. You have a plan.
Pedro shrugged, took another drag, then leaned back.
I have a mission, a simple one. Put a rightful king on a throne. The goals to accomplish such a mission?
Complex.
This is why I need smart men, capable men around me, Alex. Men like you.
I'm capable?
You are one of the coolest heads I have come across.
Me? I was full of emotion.
You kept them in check. And when things turned out strangely in Westchester, you still kept your head. You stopped to observe. You followed the protocol and followed the orders from your superior. You're a good soldier. You have something in mind for me. Aide-de-camp, Pedro smiled. In my army, you will be promoted to lieutenant, and on up as you prove yourself useful. What are our plans? When Alfonso became king, he was a baby of 1 year. His regents ruled in his name. He was married off. But when he turned 13, he decided to rule in his own right. He annulled his marriage, made a new alliance with Portugal, married the king's daughter, and had a son. But Alfonso fell in love with Leonor, so he made her his mistress. Together, they had 10 children, including a set of twins, Enrique and Fadrique. Fadrique died young, but not before he had children with his mistresses. This first child, named Alonso Enriquez, was hidden away until his uncle, Enrique, became king. Alonso married well and had 13 children and one bastard son named Juan. From him came the line that 300 years later went to the New World. This descendant, also named Juan Enriquez, decided to leave the old world behind him, truly behind him. He dropped his titles and changed his family name, but he wanted to honor the ancestor he thought worth honoring, Alfonso the 11th, by that time dead for well over 400 years. The new family name became Alfonso XI. And the descendant? His full name is Hector Alfonso XI, but he has dropped the XI. Pedro walked to the window. That doesn't matter. But wherever he is out there, we'll find him. In this war, you're quick. To tell you the truth, Captain, I thought AC was a group of dedicated but nutty guys who used the Alfonso's crown as a way to discipline themselves, to give themselves purpose. None of us recruits questioned where the vast sums of money had come from to fund the training and the learning and the staff. But I can see, compared to a kingdom, well, what they spent on us is a pittance. But your father left you how many billions? It doesn't matter. The thing is, that which impresses me now is that you truly want to see this king thing happen. Pedro smiled. Papa left me enough money, and I invested enough of it to make me a kingmaker. But don't think I'm in this alone. I remember my history classes. I can only guess at some of the alliances you formed. It was Alex's turn to smile broadly. As your aide-de-camp, I will find out, naturally. Naturally. Beppo, who had been half-listening, jerked his head up from his phone. Captain, it is just like you predicted. It is Texas. He scrolled down his screen. The president's army is there. Who else? The army of the Midwesterners, the army of the Northwest, and the army of the Southern States reunited. Time to leave this ship. Who are we fighting with? The Southern States reunited. I see, Beppo said. We have an interest in Texas. You can see that, eh, Alex? Can't have a king without a kingdom. Alex walked over to a small cabinet that held the whiskey. Here's what I understand. Tell me where I'm wrong. He poured out 3 shots of whiskey. We're in this war, but silent about our own agenda. He handed a shot to Pedro. To think that all I wanted was to be an electrician, he gave a shot to Beppo, and be married and have kids. He held up the shot he had poured for himself. Gentlemen, for me, when Jorge died, a door shut. 3 years back, another door opened, and today I walked through that door. He raised his glass. To Jorge! To Jorge! The men drank. Alex poured another round. To the king! In his thoughts, Alex couldn't help but wonder, what would Jorge think if he could see him here in Pedro's large yacht drinking whiskey with men who made plans for a man who didn't know they had plans for him to make him a king? Yet the only reason he was on this yacht is because Jorge was dead.